Thank you. So this is CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby. You are listening to the tonal note half of the Extra Other. I'm Garen Fitzgerald, joined by Matt. And we just listened to Vivian Fung's Earworms. What'd you think?
Yeah. I thought it was super interesting. I didn't quite catch all of the quotations she did. But what I did catch, I enjoyed. And when I realized that that was a waltz that she was like twisting, reshaping, and somewhat butchering, I was like, oh, this is a very interesting, like, I don't know, just like way to play with a waltz, like something that's supposed to sound so regal and like classy and blah, 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 and make it sound like it's coming out of like a weird clown horror show thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was just doing some reading while we were, like, some research while we were listening to that. And apparently, okay, a couple things. So this was written, first debuted in 2018 in March, end of March. So I'm thinking, given most composer deadlines and stuff like that, when you're commissioned to write a piece, you have to give the orchestra, like, a month or so to practice it. So I'm thinking this piece was completed in maybe February. Perhaps it was written for about 6 months to a year, like from sketch to completion. Mm-hmm. And so like you're when we got to the little kind of tinkly bell section, you're like, oh, is that like a Christmas carol? And I was like, no, it's Wheels on the Bus. But I could totally see why, because that's such a Christmassy sound.
Yeah.
And apparently like in this time period, she was battling insomnia and she had a young son who was listening to Wheels on the Bus like nonstop. And that I get because my own kids did the same thing.
Yeah.
So while I was listening to this piece, I just kept imagining a composer on a deadline who can't sleep, has a young son running around, like being a kid, as kids do, and just like cannot get these stupid songs out of her head. And then she's trying to write this piece. And they keep like the first quote was Lady Gaga's Poker Face. Mm-hmm. And then Wheels on the Bus and a little tinkly, the xylophone.
Yeah.
With metal hammers. And then, the waltz at the end was a piece from Ravel called La Valse. La Valse? I don't know. It's French. The waltz. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it started out like 90% nice with like a little bit of weirdness, and then she just ripped it apart, and I could just see, like, if it were me, my hands would be grabbing my hair and be like shaking my head side to side, like, get out of my mind.
Well, that's the response to a lot of earworms, actually.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I still have songs from my childhood from like Nintendo games just running through my head nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's terrible because sometimes I'll be writing a song and then I'll sit down and be like, oh, it's great. That's freaking Metroid.
Mm. Nice.
I'm like, dang it. Dang it.
Dang it, Bobby. No.
Nice.
That was Hank Hill.
Sorry, you got me by surprise there. But okay, so when I listened to Earworms, I was reminded of another, I don't know, like I said, I'm kind of breaking my timeline rules here. It reminded me of Charles Ives, whose father used to like play music on the piano for him to transcribe as like part of his musical training. And then what he started doing is like, I think the famous example was a parade started walking down the street outside his house. So his father's playing this thing for young Charles to transcribe. And he's like, oh, you know what? Transcribe this and that at the same time. And make them so that they, like, they're marked according to the same meter. So Charles is just like, the heck? And it became a hallmark of his compositional style. Like, this ability to blend melodies in different keys and different time signatures together in his pieces. Another fun fact about Charles Ives is that when I looked him up as a kid in, I've forgotten the name of the encyclopedia, but there's like a music nerds encyclopedia. I looked him up and there's all this information about his very like vast and colorful music career. And they're like, oh, and also he worked in insurance. And apparently, if you go look him up in the equivalent boring insurance famous people encyclopedia, they have all this like vast information about how he like single-handedly changed the insurance industry and also composed music. So
I didn't know that insurance salesmen / underwriters had like a hall of fame.
Yeah. Well, cause he changed the entire market apparently, like on how we looked at insurance. So like from the beginning of the 19th or the 20th century into like the middle of the 20th century, he basically set up insurance for what it is today. Thanks, Charles Ives.
So he was like the, no, I guess that would be too early for him to be the, Jordan. What was his name? He did the Skyhook. What was his name?
Oh, I know the Skyhook. I can't remember the guy who invented it, though.
No, maybe. Maybe we'll call him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Wait, no. Not
oh, wait, no, you're talking about a basketball move. Sorry. Exactly. I thought you meant like the trick of picking people up with a hook from a plane while they're on the ground.
No.
The plane doesn't stop.
Oh, well.
A la Batman 2.
Yeah, okay.
The Batman with the Joker.
Yeah. I think I am talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I think is... He was the greatest ever until Michael Jordan, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
What did he do on the side?
I don't know.
He revolutionized hydroponics.
I feel like most basketball players never really had like a second career.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a full-time thing.
Yeah, it is also one of those things, like he was like 7 feet. Yeah, he was seven foot two. So like, I don't really feel like there's that many second jobs for 7 foot two people.
I mean, he could paint ceilings.
But it would be too expensive because he's like a full, he's like, he gets so much money as a basketball player. He'd be like, you have to pay me like $10,000 a ceiling to paint this.
Maybe he does it for free as like a kind gesture to his neighbors. But either way, we got to move on. This is Charles Ives. I'm going to play for you guys Central Park in the Dark. And you might see why I was reminded of this by listening to Earworms. So here we go.
All right.
Welcome back to the Extra Other Tonal Note half of. That was just Charles Ives' Central Park in the Dark. There you go. And yeah, like, so the thing that really jumped out at me comparing that to Earworms is just like, there's that moment towards the last half of that piece where it's just like all these popular songs from the 1920s, 1930s, like overlapping on top of each other, mm-hmm. which is like the Ives thing. It's like, I hear everything and can write it down in one time signature. And yeah. Just felt like, yeah, for me, like that's a 7 minute long piece. Felt like each minute was supposed to be about an hour. Mm-hmm. And then the sun rises at the end or something. I don't know. It's very nebulous.
I mean, like, I guess like, a lot of the time it gets, like, quieter just before, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 a.m. when people start to get up and get ready to go to work or whatever, so.
Yeah. Speaking about getting up and getting ready to go to work, you're going away, man.
I am.
You're going to get, like, edumacated.
In theory. I don't know.
Specifically theory, right? Like, economic theory?
Economic policy. So
okay.
There will be some theory involved, but it's not going to be, like, some other econ master's programs where you're like in the math trenches. Mm. One of my buddies, he had posted a picture of him just like doing all this crazy math stuff preparing for his final. And I was like, that is horrifying. And I hate that they forced you to do this. And I pray for you in this purgatory.
So, I mean, okay. Since you're doing this econ master's and all that jazz, like, is it fair to ask you when you get back to, can you do my taxes?
No. Accountants and economists are very different things.
Oh, yeah.
If I did your taxes for you. So there's a joke about economists where it's like, there's four people, right? They're all on this ship or whatever, go sailing out into the ocean, and it gets into this horrible shipwreck, right?
Titanic situation?
Something like that. Mm-hmm. So they all end up on, you know, this small little island, and it's the four of them. And they are there, it's three. It's an engineer, a mathematician, and an economist, right? So they're there and they have a can of beans, and it's the only food they have. So they're all talking, well, how do we solve this? The engineer says, okay, you know, we got some sharp rocks here. If you give me a little time, I can figure out a way to make a can opener. Then the mathematician says, you know what, that makes sense. But I think also we can use these sticks and we can put them together and we can make a nice little fire and then we can heat it up. And then the economist goes, well, look, let's assume we have both a can opener and a fire. What will we do then? And the joke is that economists start by making a bunch of crazy assumptions that are not necessarily true. So if I do your taxes, I'm going to say, well, let's assume that he doesn't actually owe any money and that, you know,
I get behind that.
There are no problems with him not paying anything.
All right. And then I'll just blame you when the tax man comes and says, hey.
But I'm not a registered accountant. So they'll be like, his tax advice is meaningless.
Unfortunate. Well, that leads us to our last song, which is Johnny Cash, We'll Meet Again.
Wow.
Because we're out of time. Stick around for Girly So Groovy and Scream Therapy at 12:30. Otherwise, other than that, like, it's been a pleasure, Matt.
Johnny Cash is actually a classical musician. You heard it here first.
Oh. We'll meet again.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. And will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them that I won't be long, and they'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again. sunny day. Yeah, we'll meet again. I don't know where, and I don't know when.
Listen to Scream Therapy, a show about the link between punk rock and mental health, hosted by me, Jason Schurz. I've been part of the music scene for more than 30 years. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and my whole life was thrown sideways. As part of my recovery, I've slowly returned to the music that I love. Join me and my resilient guests for no-holds-barred conversations right here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University, Thursdays at 12:30 a.m. And until then, take care and be well.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at CJSF